Okay, here we go with Baldry's Beat. Keith Baldry, Legislative Bureau Chief for Global News. Good morning, Keith.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too. We just finished talking about the latest reports here of China state interference in Canadian elections. This one hitting closer to home now with these allegations of meddling in the municipal election in Vancouver. So this is a report from the Globe and Mail citing, once again, leaked CSIS reports. We just talked about that. And you got David Eby, the premier, saying he's concerned about this and
he wants a briefing.
He wants a briefing from CSIS.
I haven't heard a BC premier ask for a CSIS briefing before.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It'd be nice to see some actual concrete evidence of what is CSIS talking about here. There's no evidence that Ken Sim, for example, the election of him resulted from any of this interference. He won by a huge margin over Kennedy Stewart. There is election laws that govern financing and such and resources. So I don't think there's any evidence to suggest the municipal election was decided because of Chinese interference. Nevertheless, obviously China and places like Russia are very active in foreign countries. And any report that suggests they're infiltrating the democratic system has to be examined closely.
Yeah, and Kennedy Stewart himself has said that, look, I got beat by such a huge margin that even if there was interference going on, I don't think it would have made a difference. So let's listen to that clip. So here's Kennedy Stewart here on how he lost this election and he lost big. Have a listen.
I lost by 37,000 votes, which is a big margin out here. So I don't think foreign interference caused my loss. But as a, you know, I'm a professor of political science here at the School of Public Policy at SFU, and I be deeply concerned about a very aggressive interference at any level of elections.
Yeah, good for Kennedy Stewart to put that aside. This is not did not determine the outcome of that election, but he's right. And again, he's a poli-sci prof, obviously interested in any allegations of foreign interference in a democratic process. So we'll see. I mean, Justin Trudeau's under a lot of pressure now to hold a public inquiry. We'll see where that goes. But now, you know, David Eby wants a briefing, so we'll see if he gets one.
And I imagine if any Canadian premier requests a briefing from CSIS, Canada's spy agency, you get a briefing. I imagine that's how it does it.
I don't know.
What are the rules
on that? I've not ever heard of an instance of a premier getting a briefing from CSIS. CSIS is a very mysterious organization. I used to, when they first started, it was created back in the 80s. I remember as a police reporter at the Vancouver Sun talking to some of them, and it was a very mysterious organization. A lot of secrets kept close to the vest.
Well, they're spies. Of course,
exactly.
There's a secret.
Again, I'm not sure how a public, you and I have talked about this before. How does a public inquiry work by using spies?
Are they
going to be compelled to testify and give secrets speak behind closed doors?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're talking like top secret state level, you know, secrets on Canada's national security. So
are we? We still don't know exactly what the evidence is and what is it speculation? Is it concrete evidence? What is it? But certainly a lot of mystery attached to this.
Now, here's the other thing I'm wondering about is how bad is this for Trudeau? So let's listen to Trudeau. Here he is speaking in Vancouver just the other day, trying to reassure the public once again. But he's looking increasingly nervous to me on this file. Here he is.
Attempts by interference by China did not affect the outcome of the 2019 and 2021 elections. That's something Canadians can be absolutely reassured by. But Canadians want to know even further, okay, are we doing everything necessary?
Okay, what do you think? What's your read of this? He seems a little worried to me.
Well, he doesn't look strong, that's for sure. I mean, Angus Reid poll out last week, his approval rating's down 6 points in 3 months. Still higher than Pierre Poilievre, but nevertheless, the momentum is not on his side right now. So I think he is under pressure to hold an inquiry. I mean, he's right. There is no evidence to suggest it affected the outcome of the election. But if you've got Canada's top spy agency making allegations, even completely off the record with nothing to back them up, it still has to be examined, whether it's a public inquiry or whether it's David Johnson and see what he comes back with. But already you've got the Conservatives rejecting his appointment as a sort of the investigator here. So this is not going away for Trudeau.
Okay, let's talk about south of the border and the drama here around Donald Trump. Because we got to talk about this now. So Trump himself tweeted out on Truth Social, his own social media platform, that he anticipates he's going to be arrested tomorrow. So it's the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who is a Democrat, Could Trump be charged on this? The case revolves around whether Trump illegally covered up a payment made to porn star Stormy Daniels to keep the lid on an illicit affair she had with Trump. So let's listen to, okay, this is kind of funny. This is Ron DeSantis, the Republican governor of Florida, widely expected to run for president against Trump for the Republican nomination. These were his first comments on this. Let's have a listen here.
And what we've seen in Manhattan is we've seen the crime rate go up, and we've seen citizens become less safe. And so you're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that.
Okay, well, he kind of did speak to it in a way, and everyone laughed. Anyway, your thoughts?
Well, this is extraordinary. It starts with a story last week in the New York Times saying that prosecutors were sending signals out that he was going to be charged, but no evidence, nothing after that. And so Trump put out tweets that he expects to be charged. There had been one school of thought that perhaps this was a preemptive move by Trump to get his supporters out there beforehand to gather some sort of big, huge protest a la January 6th. And then perhaps he wasn't going to be charged. But now I see this morning there are barricades being put around Manhattan Criminal Court, which anticipation perhaps of some protests tomorrow.
Oh, boy. Okay. So this is getting becoming quite something here. Let's listen to Trump's former vice president, Mike Pence, here, and who has basically fallen out with Trump. But you'll hear him describe that he believes that any prosecution against Trump is political and they shouldn't go there. Here's Pence.
Indicting a former president of the United States at a time when there's a crime wave in New York City, that the fact that the Manhattan DA thinks that indicting President Trump is his top priority, I think, is just tells you everything you need to know about the radical left in this country.
Does it seem unusual to charge a former president? It's not don't often see that, almost never.
I don't think we've ever seen former president charged criminally. Extremely unusual.
What do you think of the decision to do that?
Well, prosecutors are acting in a legal framework, not necessarily a political framework. Should they take that in consideration? If they've got evidence of someone committing a crime, did they take it upon themselves to give that person a pass simply because we've never charged a person like that before? I think the prosecutors have to weigh that, and that's why they evidently have decided to charge him.
Well, I mean
a former president is not immune.
He's not above the law.
Not above the law, but
you know, the Republicans, of course, would say this is totally political. This is a Democratic attorney general there in New York State, and this is a political prosecution.
Well, the only parallel was Nixon, who should have been charged, many people argue, but Gerry Ford, the president who replaced him, gave him a pardon, even though there was plenty of evidence that he had committed some sort of crime.
Okay, here's another interesting aspect of this is, could this in some way help Trump? Like, if this generates sympathy for him among Republicans, does it help him in his campaign?
Does it reignite that base of his in the Republican Party that may have gone dormant the last few months because of various developments, and maybe this reignites them?
Okay, let's listen to Chris Sununu on that point. He is the Republican governor in New Hampshire. Have a listen.
I just think that the not just the media, but really a lot of the Democrats have misplayed this in terms of building sympathy for the former president. And it does drastically change the paradigm as we go into the 2024 election.
I'm not sure he can beat DeSantis, though.
No, I think DeSantis has enough going for him to defeat him. But this charge could change the dynamic down there. Yeah. You know, does this generate sympathy? Is this a sort of a put-up job by the Democrats? It certainly is one narrative that's going to be fashioned by Trump supporters, and it'll resonate with a significant amount of people in that party.
The other thing is, in the statement that Trump put out, he said he expects to be charged, and then he encouraged his supporters to protest, take your country back, in his words. And like you said, like some people say, is this a call to arms for like a January 6th type uprising?
Which is why I think they put the barricades up around the courthouse this morning. But also I think a lot of people... many people were charged in the January 6th insurrection. These weren't just slaps on the wrist. Some people got 5 years in prison. There was a former military sergeant last week was sentenced to 2 years in prison. So it's a reminder to these people, if they want to take this on, do it peacefully. But if they start trying to storm into a courtroom, they're going to face jail time.
Okay, well, let's listen to the Republican speaker here, Kevin McCarthy, here saying he doesn't think that Trump is trying to spark some violent uprising here. Have a listen.
When someone says that they can protest, he would probably be referring to my tweet, educate people about what's going on. He's not talking in a harmful way, and nobody should. Nobody should harm one another.
Well, I'm not sure Trump didn't say go out and tweet about it.
No, I mean, the language Trump's using is very similar to the language he used in the before January 6th. So I think he's trying to be a little cute here without actually coming out and saying it. He's encouraging the same behavior we saw back then.
The other thing is, if this happens tomorrow, I guess we'll maybe hopefully get some more information about precisely what's in an indictment against Trump, because a lot of it's been framed, well, this has to do with the hush money paid to Stormy Daniels. And you think, like, okay, are they really going to charge a former president over this shabby, you know, incident that his lawyer went to jail for, by the way, Michael Cohen? But could there be something else in this indictment that we don't know about? There maybe is another charge in there.
One of the best sources for info on this is actually Stormy Daniels on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I encourage people, if you want to follow her on Twitter, because she posts stuff, some interesting developments that obviously she's privy to some of this stuff that others are not. Oh. In fact, the Columbia Journalism Review put an article out today that she's actually had more information than many reporters covering this.
Okay.
Because I think she's privy to stuff that others are not about the case.
Baldry's beat, lots of calls right at it here. Dev in Vancouver. Hi, Dev, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. My understanding, listening to both sides of people who are neutral in the U.S., this prosecution is taking a misdemeanor and stretching it as hard as they can to make it a felony. I'm afraid they're crossing a line, that once they cross that line, there's no going back. And my other understanding is that they're relying on this lawyer who himself has perjured himself repeatedly. So I'm afraid we're headed into dark times, and yeah, there's nobody down there that's thinking about the greater good.
Okay, he's referring to Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer, who's a key witness in this whole thing.
Yeah, so again, back to the two solitudes down there. One side is not ever going to talk or listen to the other side. So, you know, Trump getting charged isn't necessarily going to make his supporters drift away. And to his characterizing this as a misdemeanor, not sure I go that far. However, a lot of people have likened this to how Al Capone was taken down. It wasn't for the more serious crimes of murder and kidnapping. It was for tax evasion.
Tax evasion, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, is this the analogy of what we're seeing with Trump? I don't know. I mean, I'm not familiar enough with the criminal code statutes down there over this particular section to agree that it's a misdemeanor.
Well, let's wait until we see the indictment, too, because there may be more in there we don't know
about. In fact, they're putting barricades up around the courthouse, though.
But the other thing is, though, I mean, they could present the most solid, you know, lockdown case against Trump of all time. You know, guilty as sin, here's the evidence, and you would still have a ton of people in the population say it's a Democratic frame-up.
For sure, because right? one of the problems with the state's justice system, there are party-elected prosecutors.
Well, yeah. You know, well, this is a Democrat prosecutor in New York.
That'll never go over with 90% of Republican
right.
voters.
Frank in New West. Hi, Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I find that the mainstream media is going too easy on Trudeau on the communist Chinese there. They should be going tongue and hammers on the guy. And as for Donald Trump, frankly, who cares? He's a foreign leader in a foreign country, and it was two adults that had something going on, and one paid the other to shut the other one up to keep from getting in trouble. With Trump, who cares about him?
Okay.
If he's not here in Canada, you can't vote for him. You can't do nothing about him up here. So
okay, well, he's running for president again. But anyway, I think
a lot of people are interested in things that occur outside of Canada, with all due respect, just because he's in the States. I mean, it has worldwide implications.
Yeah.
Whoever is president of the United States has a huge impact on Canada.
Sure.
So to ignore this, saying, well, because he's an American, we shouldn't even talk about him, is absurd. As for media coverage, Global and the Globe and Mail have been leading the way on covering the Chinese election interference story from day one.
I mean, this has been a daily story for weeks here now. Trudeau's been grilled every day on China. I'm not sure that the media's gone light on it at all. In fact, the liberals are complaining. The media are exaggerating it. So, Marianne in Comox. Hi, Marianne.
Hi. I hope that Trump goes to jail, and I think that it's like the Al Capone thing, and I'm wondering if there are other indictments that they are just kind of covering with this Stormy Daniels nonsense. And the other part is, how do the people down there support him. He has all these alt-right, ultra-Christian people supporting him. Do they not question his behavior in any shape or form or way? He's totally immoral if you're apprising to their particular look of the Bible. Like, I just don't get it. I do hope he goes to jail.
Thank you.
plenty of examples down in the States of evangelical Christians being caught doing evangelical Christian things.
Yeah, that's true.
happens all the time down there. Yeah. So he is also facing a potentially serious indictment in Georgia for interfering in that, trying to overturn the Georgia election results. That, a lot of legal analysts think that's his biggest problem.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.